Aren't you glad for the love of God? How rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Praise the Lord. I'll start breathing again here in a moment. Take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please. Didn't mean to shout at you there, but take your Bibles, if you will, with me, to the book of Ephesians. Brother, we are praying for you in the loss of your wife and for these others that have been through the valley of the shadow, and that particular shadow of a loved one going to heaven, a loved one passing, and whether it was expected or unexpected, yet it always brings the trauma to the heart. But for those who know the Lord, the traumas to the heart are tempered by the grace of God. The one who is with the Lord experienced the grace of God and in death, and the ones who remain, if they're paying attention to it, can experience the grace of God in living. Too oftentimes, and we'll not deviate too far from the message this morning, but too oftentimes, God has provided grace for what we're going through. We just don't look for it. We don't look for the evidences of that grace being supplied. It may be a phone call just out of the blue. It may be a provision that comes in completely unexpectedly. Whatever it is, and God is saying, I want you to realize how much I love you as you're going through this challenge. And yet, because we're not looking for it and thanking the Lord when it arrives, we just kind of accept it and go, well, that was nice, and move on, when the whole time it was the hand of God. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So if you're a child of God who loves God, you're not trying to walk after the flesh. You're attempting to walk after the Holy Spirit. And when you're going through those times, let me encourage you, as I challenge my own heart, to begin looking around for those small evidences of God's grace that just come unexpectedly. And instead of just absorbing it as a part of life, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. No, as you're going through those kinds of times in life, and it comes in almost like a breath of fresh air, and it probably is from heaven, to just restore your soul. And just pause for a moment, even though you may be driving down the road. Now, don't close your eyes as you're praying, but as you're driving down the road or wherever you are, just assume that that came from the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, because it usually arrives, always arrives, special delivery, and it has something to do with that setting. And when that happens, just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And if you'll do that, and if I'll remember to do that, oh, you'll notice what a joy of heart it is in the midst of challenge. With that in mind, and your Bible's open to the book of Ephesians, just momentarily, in Ephesians chapter 1, we are in a series. We started it about 3 weeks ago, and that series is simply entitled In Walking with the Lord after Ephesians chapter 1. Well, I'll give you the title here in a moment, verse number 12. But notice in verse number 10, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, talking about the end of time, our brother spoke about in Sunday school this morning, and a little bit beyond that, beyond the millennium, in the end of times, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he, God, might gather together in all, in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined or chosen ahead of time by God, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Here's the statement, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. The title of the series is To the Praise of His Glory. And I mentioned as we started this series that the series is, because I'm just new here at Calvary Baptist Church, and just asking the Lord to enable us at this new beginning, if we could put it that way. Some of you have been a member of this church for quite some time. Some of you, I trust, are going to be joining this church. So whether you've been here for decades or you're just about to join or have been here anywhere in between, that as we have this kind of new beginning, if we could put it that way, that we use this stellar event to pause and ask ourselves, where is this church
as it is, as it stands presently, in the fullness of what God wants us to be. And so God laid on my heart several weeks ago to just travel through Ephesians. Now, we're doing that on Sunday nights, and that's not what we're going to be doing this morning, but we get the text from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12 for the series. And so there were five different subjects that God laid on my heart several weeks ago for us, for me, for you, to use as a standard of evaluation. If you're going to fly an airplane, you better know what the standards of aviation is, or the standards of aerodynamics, or the standards of the weather, or whatever it is. You better know what it is. If you're going to do welding, you better know what you're going to do. If you're doing some electrical work, which I tried this week and thought I had my meter there, I felt professional like an electrician. I really did. And I got my screwdriver and took the little thing off the wall. It has three little lights there, or three little switches. And I said to myself, self, I know what to do because I've done some of that in the past. Well, self was wrong. I don't know what I did that was wrong, but something wasn't right. And I put my little probe on one screw and on one place, and I put my little probe on another one, and it kind of melted the probe. And just so it made sure that I saw it was going to melt, it sent out a big spark, like that. And I said to myself, self, back off. Call Brother Haynes. He knows what he's doing. All right. So the point I'm trying to make is this, is that there are standards for every venue of life, every avenue of life. If we're ignorant of God's standards for the New Testament church, we can have church. We can have an offering. We can have a sermon. We can hear the song of the choir as they sing. What a glorious message and song set to music. And do so without the power of God. But if we begin to understand afresh and anew, or for the first time, what God requires of a New Testament fellowship of believers, not the walls, not the foundation, not the pews, not the lighting, but what does He require of me as a new member of Calvary Baptist Church, and for you, and those who are visiting with us, and those who are online and a part of this ministry and cannot be with us today? What does God require of us? And so God gave me five things to serve as this series, and it's lasted already about 3 weeks. Well, we didn't have services last week. I called a couple of folks, and I said, hey, I missed you in church Sunday. And they said, well, I missed you in church Sunday. And I said, well, you're right. I wasn't there either. But as we look at these five things, I'm just going to briefly give them so that we kind of keep them in mind. And then we're going to go to the second of the series this morning. Perhaps to cover it all, perhaps not. We'll see. So the first series was this. And it's the entire series is to the fullness of His grace, to the, I didn't even quote it right, praise of His glory, to the praise of His glory. But the heading for this morning's message is simply this, heart to heart. Heart to heart. And the theme that is part of it, you'll see in these five. So, to the praise of His glory is the main theme. And it's broken down according to the word praise, P-R-A-I-S-E. So, the letter P stands for this. If we're going to be the church made up of individuals, saved, if we're going to be the church God wants us to be, the letter P stands for principled doctrine. We live individually and corporately as a ministry. We lived according to principled doctrine, which enables, which promotes, as I said there, biblical maturity. And that's what we dealt with for two Sundays. Biblical maturity, because of living according to the principles of the Word of God. Not according to religious tradition, not according even to the tradition of this wonderful ministry here, but according to what the Bible says. What does the Word of God say? When you come in, I hope you're coming in hungry. I'll never forget, and I may have mentioned it before, I don't remember, but I may have mentioned a prison ministry that we had years ago down in Athens, Georgia. And I started the ministry as far as from our church. It had been going for quite some time, but it had fallen off. And so we started it back. And I did it for a number of months. And then Dr. McKnight, a member of our church, a great man of God. He was in his 80s at the time, but still, oh, what a man of God. And so Dr. McKnight was able to take it over, and so he did it. And after, I guess, maybe 6 months, 9 months, it may have even been a year, I went back, and as I went in, here are these prisoners, and these are some of them lifers, but it was those that were not just awaiting their sentence. They were there and had been there for years. What I didn't know is there was a wonderful library. One of the former pastors or preachers there had built a great library for those who got saved that had a lot of time on their hands. And these men had, many of them had grown in the Lord, others had not. Some of them had just arrived and were still rough and unsaved and so forth. But I walked in, and as I walked in with Dr. McKnight, the prisoners, not clapping for Dr. McKnight, but clapping and saying, "Doctor, preach the word to us. Preach the word to us. We're hungry today. Preach the word to us." Now, I'm not saying we need to do that here, but in like fashion, I hope your heart is hungering to know the word of God, to be excited about what the word of God says, whether it comes by way of light of conviction in your heart or light of encouragement. However it arrives, you want the Holy Spirit to envelop your heart this morning and this evening and tomorrow and the next day with what the word of God has special delivery for you. And that's why I entitled this morning, the second in the series, and the first series is Principled in Doctrine. The second is Righteous in Fellowship. Righteous in Fellowship. And when you and I are righteous in fellowship before God, it pursues, it promotes, it encourages. Righteous in fellowship encourages influence. When you're here and I am here, it's not just about Randy Bray or Miss Gretchen or Brother Ron or Mrs. Corello or Brother Allen or Brother Curtin back there or the folks that are on this side or that side. And I was trying to think of the Tweeds' name, and it wasn't coming, but the Tweeds who are with us today as well. But rather, when you and I are here, we are to understand God wants me to be used of God in your life. And God wants Brother Josh's testimony and walk with the Lord to be an encouragement in my life. And for each of us to realize that we are to have what the Bible speaks about is this matter of fellowship. It's the idea that we can have an influence on each other. We can be an encouragement. We can have a comforting. We can have a lot of different things that God wants to use in our life. Let me give the last three very quickly, or the last four. So principled in doctrine, righteous in fellowship, accurate in conflict. That has to do with responsibility. And then several weeks from now, we'll have innocence in testimony. That talks about integrity. The integrity of, yes, individuals, no doubt, but also the integrity of this church. The people who work at the pizza place down the street from us. What's their opinion of Calvary Baptist Church? The people that live three blocks down and they drive past this church every day on their way to work, and they see the cross there at the street side, and then they see where the sign is, and that just gives the statement that's on the sign. They see it all the time. What is their opinion of this church? Innocence in testimony speaks of integrity. And then sincere in service, and that speaks of our perspective, the way that we're to serve the Lord and serve each other and engaged in vision, and that's referencing our callings. Now, if you'll allow me to, and I'm just going to read it in rapid fashion, but as I went through and began to journal from the Word of God, all of the various aspects that our fellowship is to have on each other, that we are to realize, wait a minute, this is why God wants us to be this way. And I only have just a handful of different things. But if with your permission, I'll just kind of read what I put down here. And it's abbreviated, only two or three words for each one. But this is just a sampling of how God wants you to be used of Him in this congregation and among other brethren. So here we go. This is just a random sampling. It's to be a kinship to be enjoyed. Brother with brother. Brother with sister. Sister with brother. Sister with sister. A kinship. Kin is kind of a country term for being related. I like that term. Kinship enjoyed. We are to be vine satisfied. If you abide in me and I abide in you, oh, we are to be vine satisfied as we have fellowship one with the other. Our fellowship is not based on preference as far as monetary things or status in life or one of the, it is to be vine. We are to abide in Christ. And so our fellowship is in Christ as brother and sister in Christ. Our commitment is to be strong. When we are committed to Christ, we're also committed to one another, to pray one for another, to watch for one another. Oh, there's to be protection focused. When there's things going on, and the Ephesians chapter 6 says that after giving the battle armor, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and all of those things, the last thing at the very end of it, it says, we are with prayer and supplication to make prayer and supplication for one another. And he says, watching for one another. It has the idea of scoping out and saying, what is my sister going through now? What is my brother going through now? Oh, they're just enjoying the blessings of God like raindrops on a summer afternoon. They're all around them. And we can rejoice with those who rejoice. But we're also to be watching for those who are weeping and going through a difficult time in life. And they shouldn't have to have a placard above their head and holding it up on a proverbial stick saying, I'm going through a hard time. We ought to be so close as a congregation that when we watch that brother or sister in Christ and the spring is not as readily seen in their step as it normally is, and we listen to the Holy Spirit prompting our hearts saying, you might want to check on sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so and just ask them, hey, is everything going okay? Is there anything I can pray with you about? Oh, no, brother. No. Oh, sister, everything is just great. And you can say, okay, Lord, I must have misread that. And so I'm going to be able to rejoice with them instead of to weep with them or to come to their aid or to succor them to come to their aid. So when you and I think about how God can use us, oh, it's to be kinship enjoyed. It's to be vine satisfied and sustained. It's to be commitment strong, protection focused, pride surrendered. I can't take time to go through all these, but compassion driven, edification purged, sanctification or pursued, excuse me, can't read my own writing here, pursued, sanctification partnered, ministry codependent, conflict prepared, separation restored, godliness enhanced, iron with iron sharpened, emotions principled. And no doubt you could give other things that our fellowship with each other ought to just, oh, it ought to just be like, oh, this is glorious. Why, when we walk in the doors of Calvary Baptist Church, we don't look to see where so-and-so's sitting. I'm not going to sit on that side of the church, right? Or I remember what they did 21 years ago, 3 days and 6 hours and 2 minutes. No, that's not God's will. Paul says to the church at Philippi that they were to abide in unity. He talks about individuals and then corporately so that nothing is left undone. Even as that's God's will for us with between ourselves and him. And certainly that is his will for us. So what I did, and again, time is just going to fleet very quickly. But what I did is I went through these and many others, as a matter of fact. I didn't have time to go through all these. I knew our time would get away from us. So what I tried to do was to take my numbers of pages that I had taken notes on. And I went back through with all my scribblings and I said, all right, Lord, I need some kind of some headlines here to where if I pay attention to these headlines, it'll help me whether directly or indirectly to take care of some of the things that would fall under those headings. And so with your permission, I'd like to open our Bible to three different texts that give these opportunities for you and me to be heart to heart. Yes, with God, no doubt about that. We want to be heart to heart with God. Amen or no? Amen. I didn't even have to ask for a second stanza on that. That is right. Oh, what a compounded tragedy it is. May I emphasize that statement once again by repetition? What a compounded tragedy it is in an assembly of believers, where in order to be heart to heart, we have to go through about 5 layers of callous. because of whatever it is. And I would just beckon my heart's attention and ask yours of the same. To say, how heart to heart am I with God? Really? Not how good do I feel when I pray, and even though I don't feel like my prayers are getting anywhere, they kind of bounce off the ceiling, but I do pray. But when I think of somebody's name, or I think about my past, or whatever it is that intimidates me away from a fervent walk with the Lord, whoa, I've given in to the strategy of my old flesh that's there with the pom-poms out, the cheerleader outfit on, saying, you have a reason you don't need to walk with God. Why, that person's a hypocrite. Or you don't know, you don't remember how big a sinner you were. Or whatever it is that's thrown up to you as to why you are justified in staying bitter or staying callous or staying careless. Or for me. And so as we look at these three subjects, as time allows, I'm going to require it of my heart. Doubly so, because that's what God requires of me. But also, you need a pastor who walks with God. And I'm intimidated even to say that. And yet that's my responsibility, not just as your pastor, but as his child. But also as I stand before you behind this sacred desk, I would not do so and do so in a manner that brings despite to the character of God, to the heart of the Holy Spirit, and grieves Him, and stands hypocritically before you as a pastor who doesn't want to yearn to walk after righteousness. And so together as a congregation, for each of you and for me to be right smack dab, that's in the Hebrew there, smack dab in the middle of the congregation. It's not in the Hebrew, I don't think. But in the middle of the congregation, let's go before the Lord. So with that in mind, I'm going to invite your attention to the book of 1 John. To the book of 1 John. Here's, well, before I get to that, I've gotten ahead of myself. I'm so excited about getting to 1 John. When I looked through all of the various ones that I had, here's what I found. In the matter of fellowship, there was God to man fellowship. God to man, like it was with God and Adam and Eve. He spoke with them. And God with Abraham, as He spoke with a friend with a friend, as a friend with a friend. And He spoke to Moses, and He spoke to Jeremiah, and He spoke to many throughout the Word of God. He appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, and to Peter as He stood by Peter as he was in prison, so forth. And just so many times, that was God to man. And then the Bible gives record over and over and over of men, God, men who spoke to God. We have Daniel. Oh, Daniel prayed to the Lord, and he said, "Oh Lord, let not thy spirit depart from me." And the apostle, not the apostle David, but King David said, as the hart, H-A-R-T, as the deer panteth after the brooks, so panteth my heart after righteousness, O God. So here you have man to God. I think about Daniel who prayed with supplication. He prayed for Israel to God. And he prayed about his own sins before God, because he knew that the time not imprisonment, but being in Egypt had gone for the 70 years. And he knew the prophecies time of slavery and so forth would soon come to an end. And he began to pray and say, "Oh Lord, help us." We talk about Mary Magdalene, who at the feet of Jesus prayed, no doubt about it. We talk about so many others. So you have God to man in fellowship. You have men to God in godly fellowship. And then where we're focusing in this series is godly men and ladies to men and ladies. And so that's why we're turning in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. Would you do that with me? 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to look at the first of these three areas. Notice, if you will, beginning in verse number, this is 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 5. The Bible says it like this. The Bible records, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is what?" Oh, very good. That God is what? And in Him is no what? Notice that last little phrase, at all. There is no darkness at all in God. Now notice verse 6. We better pay attention. I need to. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. Let me ask you a question. Do you think there are any Christians who say, I love God. I love God. I go to church. I'm okay. And they're walking in darkness. Now darkness is not in the time of night where it's you walk out and you have to have a flashlight or some kind of light to see your way, by which to see your way. But we're talking about the darkness that's endemic or that's a part of being in the world. Not this cosmos, not this kind of world, but the worldly, fleshly desires that break or violate Bible principle. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think there are children of God, truly born again, having accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and yet they're not walking in light, but they're walking in darkness. Saved, but walking in darkness. Do you think there are?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. So let's see what he says here in verse number 6. If we say that we walk in light, if we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We're lying to ourselves. Or like Ananias and Sapphira, we're lying to the Holy Spirit too. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Oh, but I'm glad he didn't stop there. I'd have my lips stuck out because I know too many times I fail the Lord. Oh, but look at verse number 7. Would you do that with me, please? I tell you what, let's just read it together. Would you do that with me? Let's read it aloud. And it reads, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. For those who are taking notes, if you want to put it like this, the first section that we want to look at from 1 John chapter 1 is simply this, dealing with fellowship, heart to heart, and how God wants to use us among each other, because biblical fellowship promotes biblical influence. Okay, godly fellowship, righteous in fellowship, promotes godly influence. And here's the way I put it. Companioned, purchased-based walk. The first kind of ways that we can enjoy the fellowship that God wants for us to have is to realize that we're to have companion. That means one with another, one with another. Doesn't matter whether it's old with the young, male with the female. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. From the moment a person gets saved until the person who is the most recent to go to be with the Lord. That he wants that fellowship to be companioned because it's a purchased-based walk. Notice what he says at the end of verse 7. He says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You remember the old song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, I love the name of this church, Calvary Baptist Church, Calvary Baptist Church. Oh, my dear friend, when the Bible says that his blood cleanseth us from all sin, do you want to say a good hearty amen to that? Oh, my goodness. But it doesn't stop with salvation. It has to do with Brother Curtin and Mrs. Curtin. It has to do with just each one of us here, that our fellowship is to be a blood-based fellowship. And it is to be a light-based fellowship. Notice what he says, if we walk in what? The light. Now we learn from the book of John chapter 1, the light that he's talking about there is the Lord Jesus. It was said about John the Baptist, are you the light? And John says, I'm not the light, but I'm sent to bear witness of that light, that through him all men might believe. And then right after that he says about Jesus, and he, God, lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's not a boy or a girl, a man or a woman that has entered into this life that has cognitive abilities, abilities of reason, abilities of logic, ability to compute information. There's not a one who enters into this world that Jesus has not, God has not enlightened them about who he is, about there must be a God. And as you and I understand, once we're in Christ, we're not just saved by the light, but we're to walk by the light. He says, if we walk in the light, you notice there's a condition there. He doesn't say, you are walking in the light and you're going to always walk in the light. No, he is saying, if we walk in the light, and the reason he put an if there is because of verse 6. You notice he says in verse 6, if, there's a condition, it's one or the other. It's two sides of a coin. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Uh-oh. But if you say you're walking in the light and you're walking in darkness, you really are. Your attitudes, your actions, your ambitions, your words, your conversations, whatever it is, you're walking in darkness. Things that please the devil, just things that displease the Lord, things that violate Bible principle, we can say all day long, I'm walking in light. But God knows, the Bible says, the secrets of our hearts. He knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And if we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We lie to ourselves, and because we're walking in darkness, we're not doing the truth. We're not God's representatives of the world about the love of God. We're not God's representatives about the world, about salvation from an eternity in hell and the lake of fire. When God said, that Jesus said of himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, literally cannot begin to perish, but shall have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, say the next words, through him might be saved. Oh, dear friend, you and I need to understand, we're blood bought. If I bought your salvation, you'd be in bad shape. And be honest with you, as much as I love you, I really do. As much as a pastor that's been here only about a month now has the quality of love that I can have, and I've tried to stretch it out a little bit more. But if you're depending on Randy Bray to save you, friend, you're in bad shape. I'd love to. If it was my ability, I'd do it in a skinny minute, as they say in Texas. But I can't do it. I don't have to do it. Why? It's already been paid for. For every man, every woman, every boy and girl, it's already been paid for. And all God is waiting on is for you to throw yourself on his mercy. And say, Lord, I've been in church for a long time or never have been. That's immaterial. You just have to come empty-handedly to the Lord. Because he's already paid for it. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of water, by the regeneration and so forth. He saves us by his word and by his grace and his mercy. But the microsecond, that fast after salvation, then God's will for us is to be in fellowship with him in an uninterrupted basis. He doesn't want us to take vacations from him. Now we may be on vacation to Honolulu or all the way to Horseshoe, North Carolina, if that's where you go on vacation. Wherever it is, he doesn't want you to take a vacation from him. As a matter of fact, vacations from him are called erring from the truth, as James says in the Word of God. Taking a different route. And that grieves his heart. And he doesn't want you to walk in darkness because that disqualifies you from fellowship with him, disqualifies you from his blessings. And oh my goodness, there's going to be scars. And he doesn't want those scars to be matted upon scar, matted upon scar, matted upon scar, to where even your conscience is so scarred up. And the Bible word for it is to be seared. It is such bad shape that when the Holy Spirit's trying to say, oh no, no, Randy, don't do that. It has to go through all these layers of callus. And by the time it's like electricity going through a line, as I understand it, and I'm staying away from electricity, but as I understand it, the further it goes through that cord, it loses some of its power. And as you and I begin to sense callousness, oh, we've already lost power the moment we strayed from God's will. But the Holy Spirit's saying, Randy, no, Randy, come back. Randy, come back. Randy, come back. And he put some things in my way. The Bible term is chastening of the Lord. He put some things in my way to get my attention to say, you want to know why your refrigerator's not working? You want to know why you've got a glitch in your step? You want to know why you stay discouraged? You want to know why you give in and the people call you antidepressant? Why you feel this and that and the other? You want to know why? I'm trying to get your attention. You're violating my will. I want to bless you. But callous upon callous builds up. And the Holy Spirit's voice, not that his voice isn't strong enough, but if I resist him, he'll allow me to resist him. If I continue to resist him, he'll allow me to resist him. To where my ear is incapable of hearing a voice that's even beckoning and beckoning and beckoning. As you and I consider, he says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. What an obligation we have to walk in the light. What an opportunity we have to walk in the light. And it's not the light that's illuminated like we have here today, but rather it's the light of the Word of God. May I ask you a question? And you're welcome to ask me as well. How precious is the Word of God to you? I'm really going out on a limb here. Okay, I'm really going out on a limb. It's probably not true. Okay, I know I'm new here, so I'm really going out on a limb. Is there by chance a lady in the congregation today that has pictures of your children and grandchildren, and you have them with you, either by pictures of physical or on your phone? Is there a lady like that? Oh, yes. All right. Probably just about as many are going up in the rapture. All right. Would you consider those pictures precious? Yes. And I would too. I love to see my grandchildren. And yes, and my children too. Yes. Okay. And I'm not just speaking here to the ladies. Fellas, we have those things that are precious to us. How does the Word of God compare to those to you? How quickly and readily, oh yeah, let me show you. Let me show you my friend. Let me show you my Miata. Or let me show you my whatever it is. Or when was the last time that you and I said, oh, Sister Mary, let me show you what God showed me from the Word today. I was almost apoplectic about something or other going on. And there it was, the Word of God could zoom. It was just what I needed. It was just what I needed. I had someone tell me this week, I don't remember if it was here or down at school, they have a verse of Scripture that comes up regularly. I think I just remembered who it was. But Scripture comes up regularly, and this individual was telling me that I think it was this week. It may have been last week, but there was something that individual was going through or whatever, and he just happened to glance down at his phone, and it happened to be the verse of the day, and it was spot on, right exactly what that brother or sister needed. Now, I am confident in saying this, that there's probably many in here that have experienced that, maybe not on your phone with a verse that comes up a day, but the Holy Spirit brings something to the mind and to the heart. When you and I think of fellowship, we don't want anything to come between us and the Lord, and praise God. But he says, if the condition is we're walking in the light, that's our ambition. It's not that I want to be a friend of Brother Jesse, and boy, I like this guy because he grows a beard that I can't grow, okay? If I had to get to heaven based on a beard right here, I'd have to pray for an exception, all right? So I'm jealous of this brother here. I'm jealous. I can do it here and there, but there and there, I've almost tried Miracle-Gro, but I really haven't. The point I'm trying to say is, if I just want to be friend to this brother here, and I do a survey, and I say, Brother Jesse, what do you like to do? Oh, I like to watch paint dry. Okay, I don't. Okay, I'm going to make myself like paint dry. All right, oh, that's crazy. All right, but let's say that's his favorite thing. Okay, I want to be his friend. Okay, I've gotten to where I can endure. Boy, did I tell you that I like to watch paint dry? You want to be my friend? Yeah. Oh, good. No, that's not the way it is with God. He says, if we walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that we get from the Word of God in knowing who He is, what He's done for us, what He wants to do in our lives, in the unsafe community all around us, at the gas station down the way, all over the place here. He wants to use us in people's lives. And He wants to use you in everybody else's life in this building today. And those who would like to be here, those who should be here. And the secret is not, I've got to buddy up against her to find out what her likes are so that I can have fellowship with her. No. He says, if this brother is walking in the light, not the light of Randy Bray, oh my, no. That's terribly dwarfed in comparison. But if he's walking in the light of this word, he's holding in his lap. And he is saying, Lord, I know that your will for me, according to Romans 8:29, is to be just like your son. And he's hungering and he's thirsting after righteousness. And if I could presuppose my heart that that's my heart as well, and I may be over here, he may like to watch paint dry, and I think that's the goofiest thing this side of the Mississippi as well as the other side. That our fellowship is not based on paint or dogs or cows or vehicles or anything else terrestrial. But it has everything to do with God's Son if I'm walking in the light of walking with Jesus. And maybe he and I have absolutely nothing in common together, but the heartstrings are, when we're together, are going to be beating at the same beat. Because he's walking in the light and I'm walking in the light. Or brother Chris is walking in the light. And this sister's walking in the light. And that brother's walking in the light. That's what a congregation is to be. We're not to walk in these doors and size up people and say, oh yeah, I like, oh yes, oh yes, oh no. I remember when. And I know this and I know that. My goodness, that's carnal. Those are calluses that delights the underworld. Because it ruins your walk with the Lord, but it ruins your testimony for others for God. And if we're going to have the church, I'm not going to speak historically. I wasn't here. But I'm speaking visionary-wise and saying, oh God, put your hand on this ministry. Lord, help us to reach the deaf. Help us to reach the blind like Brother Steve. Help us to reach the Latinos. Help us to reach whatever it is that we can reach, because every man, every woman, every boy and girl is an eternal being. Their body is going to lie in a corpse one day. But what is going to be resurrected for the Christian at the rapture of the church and for the unsaved at the end of time, at the great white throne judgment, is a body that's going to be made temporal like the spirit is. And it's going to have a body that's either going to be racked in pain and agony for eternity, or it's going to be that glorified body that's made even like the Lord's. We're not in heaven yet. But God's church is to be a foretaste, an appetizer of heaven. So that when we have something that's between us and the Lord, oh, we listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, Alan, that's not right. And instead of Alan go, yes, I don't hear it, I don't see it, so it must be okay. No. Brother Alan says, oh Lord, shine your light of conviction on me. I won't run from it, I'll run to it. And Lord, if I have something against someone else, or if I've not paid a debt, and Lord, whatever it is, you shine the light of conviction on me, and I will run to it, Lord. And if it means humbling myself and saying to someone that we've been off at each other for 5 years or 5 days or 5 minutes, Lord, I'll make it right. I'll make it right as best I can. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the Bible says we, what's the next word? Okay, let's say it one more. Not everyone knows it. That's okay. But for those who do know it, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we what? Have what? Fellowship. One with another. One with another. Contextually, It means we are having fellowship with God because we're in the light. But we're also having fellowship with one another right here. May I ask you a question? I don't know the answer, but let me ask you a question. Is there anybody that's a part of Calvary Baptist Church in which that's not a truthful statement? Oh, dear friend, please, please walk in the light. Run to the light. Run to it. How terrible it would be to go to heaven and say, hear the Lord say at the judgment seat of Christ, you know, I really wanted to use you at Calvary Baptist Church, but I had to go around you. But how blessed it is when there's a congregation, and many, most, if not all in here, only the Lord knows, are walking in the light. And you're not here to size someone up. You're not here to gossip about someone. You're not here about this, that, or the other. You're here to walk in the light. And it doesn't matter male, female, old, young. It doesn't matter color. It doesn't matter anything else. Your ambition is to be used of God some way every day in people's lives for the glory of God that's going to go on throughout eternity. That's the savor of His knowledge in those who are saved and in those who are lost. The savor of Christ. That lingering influence of Christ needs to be about us in another's lives. And when that's true, it can be miserable outside. I mean, it can be this and that and the other and the other and the other and the other. But when you're in here, and the lights may not work right, the paint may be peeling off the wall. It's not. Praise the Lord for that. But that has nothing to do with the warmth of heart and the quality of fellowship this ministry has, so that we can genuinely rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Oftentimes, rejoicing with those who rejoice is difficult because they're rejoicing in something in which you're going through a tough time. But it doesn't matter. Either way, when we're walking in the light as He is in the light, when they're rejoicing, you're going to find something coming up almost, what's going on with me? I'm going through this, and yet I'm wanting to rejoice with them. Why? It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Guess what? When you and I get right with God, get right with each other when there needs to be, the Bible says there is no boundary, there is no cap on what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life that give evidence that you're walking in the light. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to have love in a setting not natural to love. You're going to have joy in a setting not natural to joy. You're going to have peace, long-suffering. You're going to have all of those things. Preacher, you just don't understand. Well, I may not. But what I do understand is you've disqualified yourself from the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't want that for anybody in here, especially this guy. Preacher, do you think you're preaching to a bunch of folks that are away from God? No, no, no. Oh, no, 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 no. What I'm doing with God's help is establishing a new foundation. It may have been the same as it's always been. I hope so. I don't know. I wasn't here. But God's holding me responsible, and I'm going to stand before the Lord for the quality of ministry that I have and my testimony for my wife, my family, but especially situation here germane to this is my testimony with you. But I don't want to be about your preacher. This congregation's not about Randy Bray. My picture's not on the thing out there. It's a good thing. Well, it might not have any mice, but this is a good thing. My preacher's not out there. This is about your walk with the Lord and the biblical influence you can have on this sweet sister back here and that dear brother right there, this dear friend right here, this dear sister right here, that dear brother right there. When you and I do that, you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? It'll excite heaven. Because God's going to bless this ministry. I'm not talking about we're going to have 1,000 in church. I'm talking about we'll have the relationship with each other and we'll have a testimony for before God that God is going to enhance, God's going to bless. So that when somebody is on the surgical table, so that when somebody's going through the valley of the shadow of death, not necessarily death, but the valleys where we can't see clearly, When we have that quality of fellowship, it won't be unusual for sister so-and-so to call sister or brother so-and-so and say, listen, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. It'll be natural. You would expect that. Not that they had to call, but when they called, it wasn't, whoa, boy, I never would have expected that. But rather, thank you, sister or brother. God used that in my heart. And when we do that, it'll excite heaven. And the blessings of God will be upon this place. And you'll enjoy an intimacy with God. And we'll do it corporately as a ministry that we want God to do in this place. Amen?
Amen.
So it starts with, yes, principled in doctrine. Yes, that produces maturity. And we want a mature congregation. That's why I teach on Ephesians on Sunday nights now, chapter by chapter. Okay, that's why on Wednesday nights I'm teaching on the Holy Spirit, so that all of these concert together, what I'm doing on Sunday morning, what I'm teaching chapter by chapter from Ephesians on Sunday night, which is a treatise on biblical principles dealing with the New Testament church, and that I'm teaching on Wednesday nights about the Holy Spirit, so that we'll know when we're being Spirit-led or when we're not, what grieves the Spirit or what champions the work of the Holy Spirit. So that from at least right now on, we have the blessed knowledge that I'm right with God. And it doesn't matter who it is in here. I love them. Sometimes I have to love folks through the Lord, but I still love them. And I'm going to pray for them. And I don't want anything to be. And if I think there's something between us, I'm going to go to them and say, hey, listen, I believe I've done something to you. Or I believe there's something I must have done that has discouraged you or challenged you or disheartened you or sinned against you. And I'm asking you to forgive me. Friend, when we do that, we may have been walking in darkness. Oh, but listen, now I've never been a soldier, so I'm going to try it without falling. But when I'm walking this way and I do an about face, I'm no longer walking in that way. Now I'm walking in the light. No darkness at all does my Savior have. I want to walk in the light. May God help Calvary Baptist Church to be a light-based, a blood-bought-based fellowship that promotes godliness and true biblical fellowship. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father, I pray that even as we've opened thy word to this place today, we just got to the first point. But Lord, the foundation is what has ministered to my heart this morning of all that you want to do. And you're waiting on us to just walk in the light. And when we do, your blessings will come. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. So the fellowship comes as a byproduct of walking in the light. So I better start walking in the light or continue walking in the light. And I know the blessings will be forthcoming. Father, may that be said of everyone here who knows you as their Savior. Lord, if there is one here who doesn't know you as personal Savior, Lord, I pray that today will be the day of decision to accept Christ into the heart. What a difference that will make for eternity. And we'll give you the glory.